Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast with one goal in mind, to bring people into a closer walk with God. For more than 30 years now, the Christian Worship Hour has proclaimed the good news of the gospel to those who are lost and provide hope and encouragement to Christians all across America and around the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by. God has brought us on our way. And now we're all gathering together at the feet of Jesus to worship Him. All praise to Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about a subject entitled The Blessings of Death. And you say, oh, not for me. Well, this is for Christians. And there's great blessings in death. And I'm going to give three of the wonderful things that happen when Christians die. So call your friends, because they're going to be blessed. They're going to be helped. They're going to be encouraged. They're going to be excited about the day they get to meet the Lord. So just keep us in mind and join us. Well, we're looking at Psalm 16 in the opening verses 8 to 11, where the psalmist writes, I've set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, Heavenly Father, we say amen to this writing of the psalmist. In Thy presence is there pleasures forevermore. Oh, God, we thank You that You're willing to take us into Your presence, and that You'll take anyone who comes, no matter what their sins might be. You'll take them and cleanse them and make them Your child, and eventually take them on home to heaven. And so we just pray today that, oh, God, there'll be many that will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many, O God, that will put their faith in the Savior and find hope and help and joy and peace, something the world can never give. So bless us in this service, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan has a song, and a beautiful song, Going Home. And God bless you, Jan.
At home. trumpet sounds in glory. God calls out my name. Then I will be going home. Going home. Home to see my Savior. Home to see
Well, thank you, Jan. That's what we're going to be talking about, going home, going home to heaven to be with the Lord. And it's the most wonderful thing you can think about, is seeing the Lord face to face. And so hope you call your friends, tell them tune us in. Well, we have some verses, letters we want to share with you. And I know that you always enjoy them. Because we get letters from people, and they always like to know who is listening to us and what they have to say and where they live and so forth. And so we're going to share some of them now. And by the way, to our Bible study, our Bible scripture for today is Philippians chapter 1. And so you can locate that if you want to. Our first letter is from Loves Park, Illinois. Thank you, thank you, thank you for preaching that if a Christian commits suicide, he, she still goes to heaven. That this is God's truth. Romans 8:1. Amen. It is a lie that this truth would cause anyone to commit suicide. Keep preaching the truth of God's word. And as a mother of a son who committed suicide, it is so important for the loved ones of a suicide casualties to hear this comforting truth from God's word. Please continue to speak God's truth in this great darkness. We journey in thankfully but a short while. Thank you for being on television for those of us sick and shut-ins and all who are being fed spiritually by your service. God bless you. And you know, we do pray for all of the shut-ins where many people can't get out. And so we just pray that this will be their service, one of their services, or other services on television also. But we really think of, and we never have a service, but what we don't pray for the shut-ins and those who are on beds of sickness. We have you on our heart. Here's one from Tucson, Arizona. I'm a 67-year-old man and still confused about God. Sometimes I think there is a God, because there's a lot of things that happen in my life that only a God could have let these things happen. And other times I see things that only God could have prevented, but God did not. And I'm saying bad things. I enjoy watching you on Sunday mornings, and I'll keep on watching you as long as I can, that God is willing. God bless you and all of your ministry. Well, what you need to do, dear brother, is just don't doubt God. Don't question God. It's wrong to question God. If you think it's not, if you think that's all right, you read the book of Job. And Job questioned God, and God put him down so fast, he never opened his mouth again. Because who are you to question God? Who am I to look up to God? It's the worm looking up at the giant of a man and telling him what to do. And so you just trust God. Some people say, oh, it's all right to get angry with God. It's all right to question God. Never is in my book. So you just trust God and quit asking questions. Just believe what he tells you and trust him and love him. Well, that's the sermon, but I'll give you another sermon later on. But let's go on. Here's Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yesterday, God helped me. Today, he'll do the same. How long will this continue? Forever, praise his name. Isn't that a nice letter? And that goes right along with Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to tell you, God will never change. The weather changes, styles change, people change, the government change, politicians, good Lord have mercy. But God, he never changes. And when he says it, you count on it, Buster. It'll never change. Well, here's from Danville, Virginia. I have been watching your program for a while on Saturday night at 6 p.m. I have enjoyed it and have been blessed by it and learned from it. I look forward to hearing you. I am profoundly deaf and can't understand in church, so I watch closed caption on television. I'd like to receive the new song, Your Sister in Christ. And so we have a little publication we put out called The New Song. It's a little Bible study, and we put that out every month. And so if you send us, I'm going to give you your address just a few minutes. Just hang on. Get your pencil and your paper and be ready, and I'll give the address. But you just say that you want the new song. And while we're at it, I might tell you that we have a booklet we put out, about a 14-page booklet, and it's on Can You Lose Your Salvation? Or How You Can Be Sure You're Saved. And if you want to get that, you write to us, and we send these out on a free will offering basis. But we need your help. If you can possibly do it, send a gift, and we'll be glad to send it to you. Now just wait, and I'll give you the address. Let's just look at a couple others we have here. Here is Tucson, Arizona. Being recently retired, my wife and I are wintering in Tucson, Arizona. We treated ourselves to satellite TV service and stumbled upon your Sunday morning broadcast. What a blessing. We appreciate your simple, honest, direct message. As other viewers have attested to, you have a knack of putting the hay where the sheep can reach it. Thank you for your ministry and the continued encouragement to respond. That's exactly it. We preach in such a way that the children can understand it. And we have children that do listen. We get letters from children and some who accept the Lord. And so if the children can understand it, if it's low enough for the children, it's low on the low enough shelf for all of us. And that's what Jesus did when he taught. He didn't get fancy in his teaching. He used stories and parables and sayings so that even the children could understand. Let me see. What is this? American Canyon, California. It says, thank you. Thank you for your work. I have a job for the past 30 years with off-shift swing, 2:30 to 11 p.m., and a 100-mile commute. And I always have changing days off. So thank you for making your service available all the time. I now feel more connected to God. Yes, I try to study his word every day, and I work toward making prayer a part of my daily life. To God be the glory. Just think of this. Here's a man or a woman, I'm not just sure, has a 100-mile commute. And so they can play these tapes and they can listen and they can spend their time worshiping God. So it isn't all lost time. And many of these people, we get letters who do worship the Lord as they travel. Eamon Claw, Washington. And this one writes, I stumbled across you on TV. You saved my life. I watch you every Sunday faithfully. I feel renewed and pure again. Thank you ever so much for your constant reassurance of love. Bless you and thank you in Christian faith. Now, of course, I didn't save anybody. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I just did the preaching. You can get a parrot to do the preaching. Anybody can preach. But it's the preaching. You preach the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit takes it up, and He applies it to hearts, and He says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul and the spirit and soul, and then the joints and marrow. And so that's what it is. It's God at work. And so just praise God for His Word and for the wonderful Holy Spirit. And He's always on His job, always doing His work. Here's one more we have to listen to, want to read. And this says, I thank God almost every day for bringing you into my life. Listening to you has made my faith stronger. It makes me feel good to know my Lord hasn't given up on me. Did you hear that? God hasn't given up on me. He hasn't given up on you either. Some people say, oh, I commit the unpardonable sin. I can't be saved. I want to tell you that you can't commit the unpardonable sin if you wanted to, because it was a sin that could be committed only when Jesus was here in the flesh doing miracles. And the point is that you can be saved anytime, anybody, it doesn't matter who it is, until you come to death. And we're going to talk about that today. And when you come to death, my friend, I want to tell you, that's the end. It's heaven or hell. But in this life, if you have life, there's hope. And that's why I just love to preach. I just love it, because I don't care who you are or what you've done. You can be saved. There's hope for you if you come to Jesus. St. Paul says that he says, I'm the chief of sinners. Well, if God can save the chief, He can save all the rest of us. But you have to come to Jesus, and you have to personally ask Him to come into your heart and tell Him you're a sinner. Now, He knows you're a sinner. He knows all about your sins, but He wants you to admit it. You're not so good at all. All our righteousness is like filthy rags, and we're poor, lost sinners. We ask Jesus, please come into our heart and take away my sin and make me pure and clean. Write my name on the Lamb's Book of Life and make me your child. He'll do that with one little prayer. It isn't a bunch of classes or anything else. One prayer. The thief on the cross asked God to remember him. And Jesus says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Today. He wasn't in the grave or anything else. He was, the minute you die, you're with the Lord or you're in hell. One of the two. We're going to talk about that. So here it is. There's hope. And so you just come to Jesus. You make that prayer. And then you can write to us. And while you write to us, you maybe want to send us a gift, because we're totally dependent upon you. We have no other income. And our address is Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift on the internet, it's a miracle. I just love these kind of inventions that they have, where they can send money over the internet to us. And this is how you do it. You get ChristianWorshipHour.com, ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then you'll find on there donate, and you hit that donate, and it'll say how much, you know, PayPal, and you can put it on. Maybe you're in England, maybe you're in France, maybe you're in God only knows where. They'll use your currency, and they'll give it to us in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. And so we just pray that every one of you will consider that. And you say, well, what if I send you money and you spend it on yourself, getting some fancy clothes or a nice car or something? Well, we can't do it if we'd want to. We can't misuse the money if we wanted to, because we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books, not only how much we get, and they audit our books on how do you spend it. And brother, you got to spend it for exactly what you say. And it's the preaching of the gospel, the getting the Word of God out by radio, by shortwave radio and television. That's what that's our whole story. And so you write to us and send us a gift. We've got it on there, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so God bless you. We're going to count on your gift. Now Jan's going to play, and you ask God and you say, dear Lord, what do you want me to do for this ministry? And He'll tell you. Then you make it out, Christian Worship Hour, and we'll take it and we'll carry on and continue preaching the gospel. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have Jan at the piano. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone who gives. Thank you for speaking to the heart of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan, in the sweet by and by. And that's what we're going to be talking about, the wonderful time when we're going to meet the Lord and be with the Lord. We'll just rejoice in that. Well, we're reading from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with the 21st verse. And this week we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Algeria. Every week we pray for a different country. This will be Algeria. But Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I choose I shall not, I know not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me, and by him I coming to you again." And so, Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful letter of St. Paul and how he teaches that for only thing in his life for him was living for you, and how that he tells us that to die is gain, and that we can just rejoice because the best is yet to come. So we just pray that we'll have our faith placed in you, because we know that this hope is only for those who know you, those who personally know you. And, oh God, we personally know you through prayer, by just talking to you, and you were there. And we just talk to you and ask you to come into our heart, and you do it every time. You never turn us down. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You will take all. You are not willing that any should perish. And, oh, what a wonderful message that you love us. In all of our sin and wickedness, you love us, and you want us to turn from that and turn to you. And then, like St. Paul, live for Jesus Christ. Lord, today we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Algeria. And our heart goes out to them, and we just pray that you'll give them grace in time of trouble and help them, Lord, to stand true. And as some of them, as we saw the other day, in Arabic they say, "Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord," and give their life, oh God. And their life immediately is in your presence. And so we just pray for those and the ones that are left behind. And, oh, God, we just pray that maybe you could come soon and put an end to this suffering. And yet we know that that lies only in the Father's hands. And for that, we just feel that's just all right. We agree with that and submit to it joyfully. So now bless us in this service as we see some of the joys that await every believer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Hank is with us. He's got a beautiful song entitled "Here Today, Home Tomorrow." God bless you, Hank.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor.
Lord, you know I'm thankful for every extra mile. Though sometimes my soul gets weary and I long to rest a while, but my heart is set on heaven. My strength is yours alone. This may not be my last step, but I'm that much closer home. Here today and home tomorrow, I'll be free from these chains of flesh and bone. I'll sail away from earthly sorrow. Here today, but tomorrow I'll be home. When I think of heaven and leaving comes to mind, Sometimes I look around me at what I'll leave behind. Then I see my earthly treasures, and nothing can compare to the splendor or the glory that's awaiting over there. Here today and home tomorrow, I'll be free from these chains of flesh and bone. I'll sail away from earthly sorrow. Here today, but tomorrow I'll be home. I'll sail away from earthly sorrow. Here today, but tomorrow I'll be home.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you, and that's exactly the nail on the head. Here today and tomorrow we're at home. That's what we're going to talk about, the blessings in death, the blessings of death. And I want to tell you right off of the bat, we're talking to Christians, those who know the Lord. Now, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never been born again, never ask Him into your heart, you consider that. Because God wants, He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, and you pray during the service. We get letters all the time during the service. They're praying. Some of you are sleeping, but many of them praying. And it's a simple prayer. Just ask Jesus into your heart. I'll talk about that in just a second. So this is for Christians. And so what, it's just that there's many blessings in death. I want to give you three. Now the first thing we have to ask is, what is death? When we say death, what do we mean? Well, I'm going to tell you, after 72 years of the ministry, I've seen a lot of people die, including my dear wife, Beulah. A good number. And after all, I have seen, after that, I have seen death. I've seen it over and over, but I've never seen death itself. I've seen them die, but I've never seen death. So what is death? All right, now pay attention and kind of keep this in mind. First of all, the Bible tells us what it is. And in the Bible, excuse me, death always means separation. Death never means annihilation. It never means cessation of being. It never means unconsciousness, ever. It never means such as people say, soul sleeping. And they say, well, the soul is sleeping in the grave. The Bible never, ever talks about soul sleeping. The Bible talks about how that the body can rest, but the soul goes to be with the heaven or hell the moment people die. And that soul is always conscious after death. And whether you're in heaven or hell, you are conscious for all eternity. Now we've got a lot of false teachers going around, and it's a guessing about what death is. And they've had dreams, and they've had visions, and they've had hunches, and they've been dead, and they came back to life, and they ate cucumbers one night, and they has had some visions about death and so on. Well, I'm going to tell you this. All that we know about death is in the Bible. The only thing we know about death is what God tells us. And we're not depending upon visions and dreams and all of that sort of a thing. We're depending on the Word of God. And God has said quite a lot about death when you come right down to it. And so the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that the human being is composed of a body, a soul, and a spirit. A body, a soul, and a spirit. St. Paul points it out in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And he says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there it is. We are made up of a spirit and a soul and a body. Now the spirit and soul are never divided. So when we come to death, it simply means that the spirit and soul leaves the body. And then that's, the body is dead. But the spirit and soul live on. And they will live on forever and ever in heaven or in hell. And so when we talk about death, we simply mean that the spirit and soul leaves the body. Now it's illustrated in the Bible. For instance, in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 17, we have the story, it's demonstrated by Elijah. And Elijah comes to a widow's house and her son is dead. And this is what we read. Elijah goes into this woman's house, goes into the room, and in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 21 and 22, he stretched himself upon the child three times. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come back into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. The child was dead, and only the body was there. And in the answer to Elijah's prayer, God returned the soul back into the body, and the boy came alive. There you have a picture of what death is. When that soul leaves the body, the spirit and soul leaves the body, there you have death. So the child was dead when the soul was gone. The child was alive when the soul returned. That's Old Testament. In the New Testament, you have about the same thing. You have this in Luke chapter 8. And in this is the illustration. It's a little girl, 12 years old. And she's dead, and she's deathly sick. She's about to die. Her dad's name is Jairus, and he's in charge of the synagogue. And so he comes to Jesus. He leaves the little girl, and he leaves her here, there, and he goes to Jesus, and he asks her if and sends, will you please send, you know, come to my house, and take care. And my little daughter's very, very sick. And so then he goes back and he leaves and he waits. But Jesus doesn't get there that soon. And so he sends the messengers again. And the messengers come and they say to the master, he says in Luke 8, 49, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. So they say, she's dead. Don't need to come. Jesus tells them not to worry. He goes to Jairus' house. He enters the death chamber. He takes with him Peter, James, and John. And he takes the mother and the father, of course. And then we read in Luke in verses 54 and 55, Jesus took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her food. Notice this carefully. The little girl was dead. The spirit returned to her, and the little dead girl was alive. That's what we're talking about. When that spirit and soul leaves the body, that's death. Look at another story in Luke chapter 16. And here in chapter 16, you have the rich man and Lazarus. And both of the men died. And immediately, they're not soul sleeping. Immediately, they're in the place of bliss and the place of torment in the same breath. That fast. And we know that because the man talks. He says, well, tell my brothers, they're still alive on earth. Everything is just the same on earth. They haven't even had his funeral yet. And they're in this place. The body's on earth. The spirit and the soul as it departed into that other world. And remember this. And The spirit and the spirit and soul are distinct from the body, and the spirit and soul continue to be conscious after death, while the body is nothing but a cold clod of clay. That's all. Because all of the life, all of the emotion, all of the feeling, all of the remembrance, it lies in that spirit, in that soul. That's the person. And that's just his old house that's there. James 2, verse 26, tells us plain as day. He says that when the spirit leaves the body is dead. He writes, and he says in 2:26, for the body without the spirit is dead. So that's death, plain as simple. When Jesus in that John 19, verse 30, when Jesus gave up the spirit, he was dead. So it is clear as day that the spirit and soul and body are separate. And when the spirit and soul leave the body, then there is death. But that body is left. But that spirit and soul continue to be conscious in existence. They are real. They are real as they ever were. And there isn't a word about some of these teachings about annihilation. No such thing in the Bible. And so what is death? It's when the spirit and soul leaves the body. Now with the Christian, with the unsaved, when that spirit and soul leaves the body at death, it is torment forever. Those who reject Jesus, torment forever. But to those who receive Jesus, it's a whole different story. Let me give you three things that happens. With the Christian, when the minute he dies, this wonderful Lord takes us, and it's a great gain. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, it's a Christian. He says, for me to live is Christ. That's the Christian. And when the Christian dies, it's gain. Now the world says, for me to live isn't Christ. For me to live is wealth. And me to live is knowledge. And me to live is fame. It's prosperity. It's power. It's all of these things. But to the Christian is, for me to live is Christ. And then we have those wonderful blessings. Jesus told us about heaven. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And then they call him Doubting Thomas. I call him Honest Thomas. He had a question, and he says, Lord, he says, we want to go there. We want to go to heaven. We don't know how to get there. We don't have a road map. Show us the way. Jesus said in the sixth verse, John 14, verse 6, I am the way. I am the truth. And then he got very narrow, and he said, no man comes to the Father. Nobody goes to heaven but by me. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. It's through a person. I love the church. I spend almost all my life as a pastor in the church. I love the church. And the church is instituted by God. But the church won't save you. It's Jesus Christ. And we have the church so that we can gather together and give each other strength and learn together and get the word out to the world. But the church doesn't save you. Jesus says, plain as day, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. So we have Jesus. And the moment we die, we go to be with heaven. And Jesus, and that's what they wanted. They wanted to see heaven. They wanted to see what heaven was. Why, you look in the Old Testament, Abraham. Abraham lived in the Old Testament. And Abraham, he lived in a tent. And he was always striking that tent. He's always pulling it up, and it was always moving. It was always flimsy, always flappy. It had no walls, had no foundation or anything. And what are we told? We're told in 1 Corinthians. We're told in Hebrews 11, verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for heaven. Abraham is looking for heaven. And St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9, he talks about heaven. And he says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath ever entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He says, heaven is beyond description. It is beautiful. And John had a little vision of heaven. This is what he said. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And he says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Excuse me. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. He will be his son. Does not that thrill your soul? That's a picture of heaven. And we're not just going to think about it and or dream about it or wonder about it or talk about it. We are going to see it. We are going to enter it. St. John talks about that too, Revelation chapter 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. That's heaven. I want to see heaven. I'm going to see heaven. People say, oh, you're 94 going on 95. You're one day closer to the grave. And I say, no, I'm not. I'm one day closer to heaven. One day closer to glory. Frederick Bloom puts it, he the pearly gates will open so that I may enter in, for he purchased my salvation and forgave me all my sin. Do you know when that will happen? That will happen the moment, the second you die, you'll see heaven. And then we'll see Jesus face to face. And won't that be something? We'll get a glimpse of, we read about Jesus, and we see how he cares for the sick, and he sees how he's helping the down and the out. And then we think of what he's done for us, and how he died for us on the cross, and we think about how that he saved us, and we think about how he helps us every day, and how he watches over us. And oh, we love Jesus, and we want to see Jesus. And so in Hebrews 12, verse 2, we're told something beautiful. It says, looking unto Jesus. That's where looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what this tells us? It tells us that Jesus rejoiced that he could go to the cross and die for us. That's what it says. Who for the joy that was set before him. And the most horrible thing that ever could happen to Jesus, when he took our dirty, filthy sins, all the sins of the world, no wonder it was he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was taking the sins of the world. He rejoiced that he could do that for us. Oh, my God, don't you want to see that Jesus? And thank him and praise him. And furthermore, here we are. We were sinners of the worst kind. We were enemies against God. We were rebels against God. We had a part in his crucifixion because our sins put him there. We were destined for hell. And he loved us so much that he came and he gave him. Well, here's what St. Paul says, Romans 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. and that much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Oh, don't we love Jesus? My God, look what he did for us. Esther Kruster puts it like this: we're going to see Jesus someday. And she wrote it this way: life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, we'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. St. Paul said, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I'll be known as I am known. We'll see Jesus when we die. The moment we die. I was with Beulah when she died. I was holding her hand. And before I could even say anything, she was in heaven in glory. That's the blessing of death. That's not a curse. That's the best thing that ever happened to us. And then finally at death, we'll see our loved ones. I don't know how many times people ask me, over and over, will I know my loved ones in heaven? Oh, yes, you will. You believe he will. We will. Look at the story of John in chapter 20. And we're talking about Mary here. And she's and we says John writes and says, Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And she wept. She stooped down, looked into the tomb. And then the men are there, and Peter and John are there, and they look into the tomb. And then they go back home. Mary stays all by herself at the tomb. And then she looks into the tomb, and she sees two angels, one at the head and one at the foot where Jesus had been buried. And she asks, and the angels ask her, woman, why are you weeping? And she tells the angels, well, I'm weeping because they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. See, she thinks Jesus is dead. She's looking for his body. And Mary turns from the grave to face a man standing behind her. And it's Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. Then she looks back at the tomb. And then she's thinking because and then Jesus asks a question. Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And Mary, turning around, looks at and thinks it's the gardener. And she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where I've laid him. I will take him away. And then Mary is sobbing and crying, and Jesus is behind her. And Jesus says, Mary. And she turns and she says, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Did you notice that? Mary's looking at the grave, and she doesn't see Jesus. And so then when he talks to her, she turns and recognizes him as the risen Christ. You see, look at what she's been doing. She never expected, she never dreamed of seeing Jesus alive. She's looking for his body. And she's weeping and she's crying. She can't see anything. She's crying so hard. And she's looking at the tomb. And she didn't recognize it right away, but when she saw Jesus, she knew him. Well, we know our loved ones. She knew the risen Christ. And you'll know the risen Lord. And you'll know all of your loved ones in heaven. To heaven, oh, my friends. Like when they ask one little old lady. They said, Grandma, will we know our loved ones in heaven? And she said, honey, talking to her little grandson, you think I'm going to be dumber in heaven than I am on earth? I wish that would have been in the scripture because it's beautiful. And Jesus is saying, you'll know as you've been known, and you all know each other. And when we're on the Mount of Transfiguration, they knew Peter, James, and John. They knew Isaac, they knew Moses, and they knew Elijah. And then Peter, James, and John hadn't seen him. They had said that was 1,000 years earlier, and they hadn't even seen him, didn't know him at all. And they recognized him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Yes, we'll know our loved ones in heaven. That'll be the big thing. So the question is, well, I know my loved ones, but the question is, will you be in heaven? You're never going to get there unless you have Jesus. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us over and over in John 5:24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you've heard his word, as plain as I can preach it, and you can understand it because of very simple, plain words. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. You got to believe. You got to do that. I can't do it for you. And believeth on me, and whoever receives him, I give unto him eternal life, and he will never perish. That he'll never go to hell, but he'll be have everlasting life. You just pray, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to come into my heart, take away my sin, and I'll serve you the best I can, dear Jesus, and thank him. And then you write to us, and we'll send you some literature to help you get started on the way. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you literature. If you're on the radio, on if you're on the television, it doesn't matter. You write, we'll get word to you. And to those of you on sick beds, and to those of you who are shut-ins, those of you who are having trouble, maybe you're having a divorce, maybe you lost your job, whatever it is, the Lord loves you. Jesus loves you. And he wants to help you, and you just come to him. So we're going to pray, dear Jesus, we pray that multitudes will open their heart to you. And to those who are struggling and having a tough time, help them to know that you're as close as their breath. And that when that time comes, death will be a blessing. And when one breath, less than a breath, we'll be in glory. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being our salvation. Couldn't do it by ourselves. You had to do it for us, and you did it with joy. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope that you made that decision. We can't do it for you here at the Christian Worship Hour. We'd do it in a minute if we could, but only you can do it. Your husband can't do it. Your wife can't do it for you. You have to say, dear Jesus, please, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on his name, and everlasting life is yours, and we'll rejoice. So we're praying you'll have a good week, and that we'll get along. And that we'll maybe this week the Lord will come. Who knows? One of these bright sunny days you're going to hear a trumpet. And when that trumpet sounds, we're going to meet the Lord. And we're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and all of our loved ones. And we're going to see Jesus and talk to him and all the saints of all the ages. Oh, my goodness. So we just pray, Lord, thank you the dear Lord for these things. So you all have a good week. God loves you. He gave his son for you, and his son died and was raised again the third day because he loved you. Christian Worship Hour loves you, and we'll be looking for you next week. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast that provides strength for daily living found in the good news of the gospel. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. If it has, then write to us and let us know at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Be sure to join Dr. Salem again next week at this same time for the Christian Worship Hour.